FM's Dublin Talks. Weekdays from 10 a.m.
Many of you will be aware of a story that has made front page news today, and that is the story of a lady called Margaret Cash and her 7 children, 6 of whom had to stay in Tallaght station on Wednesday night. We want to get the whole lowdown on her story, and she joins me on the line. Margaret, welcome to 98 FM. You spent Wednesday night in Tallaght station. What is your situation now?
Well, we got put into a lovely little place until Monday, but it's just until Monday, so we don't know what's happening then on Monday.
Okay, so you do have a roof over your head until Monday, and I know Inner City Helping Homeless were involved in finding that place for you, is that right?
Yeah, that's right, Anthony found this place there first. But like I said, it's just until Monday, and it's lovely, it's a lovely little place.
But you don't know where you're going to be going after that?
I don't have a clue then. I'm wondering what's going to happen. I could be just back to square one again. We don't know yet.
All right. Take me back, Margaret, to the start of your story. How did you find yourself in a situation where you and your 7 children were homeless?
Oh, God. It was last year. We were renting a house, and we were there in the last house for 3.5 years. The landlord went bankrupt. The house was repossessed and sold, which left us homeless. But just before that, we were in another house as well, and we were almost homeless. And Focus Island, a very nice man, Sean, helped us to get the second house. Same kind of thing happened, where we were just left homeless due to no fault of our own. Now, I have references and all from the last landlord. And I left the house in excellent condition. She gave me back my deposit, everything, you know what I mean? So, it really was nothing to do with my house. But then, it just went downhill from then. We went to the council, we went to the homeless, we presented ourselves as homeless, and they just never done nothing for us.
And, okay, so for the last year, it's just gotten progressively worse, and you've been moving from pillar to post, literally?
Well, every night, a different place. Every night for the last year, a different place, not knowing where you're going to be the next night. Yeah, very hard.
On the 17th of July, you posted on Facebook, finally got a bit of good news, which was about getting a house to live in. What happened to that?
That was a rented house, a rented property, but the county council, I was wanting to get the half paid on it, so the county council had to call out and do an inspection, obviously, on the house. Now, the house wasn't a really wonderful house, but I wasn't really in any hobble about it, you know what I mean? I said, I'll take it, and I wasn't really looking at the way it was or anything, so I said, it'll do, it's a roof right over our head. The council then called out the inspector. There was a storage pipe busted out the back, and there was another few small things, plumbing things, that needed to be fixed, so they said they wouldn't pay the rent until then. And the landlord who said that he wasn't doing anything, he wasn't in any position to do anything along with the house, you take the house to where it is. So I said, yeah, I'd take the house to where it is, but the council wouldn't pay the rent, and that's what happened.
Okay, so you were initially told that they had somewhere for you, not ideal, but that fell through because...
I found this myself, I found this private rent, because that's what they tell you to do, they tell you to go, you go find a half house and then they'll pay the rent. Then they have to call out and inspect the house before they'll pay the rent. And that's what happened. I went off, I found a house that would accept me along with 7 kids. It's very hard to get any landlord in the very first place for to accept anybody with 7 kids.
But you did find one, but that was turned down by the council because...
By the council turned it down because it wasn't up to standard. They couldn't pay the rent at a place that wasn't up to standard.
Because I'm sure you've seen on social media a lot of people saying things like, you turned down a house. You didn't turn down that house.
No, it wasn't a council house. It was a private rented house. And it wasn't up to standard, so they couldn't pay the rent.
So since then, that was the 17th of July. Where have you lived since the 17th of July?
We go night by night, which means Focus Island will book us into a place at night time, and we're back out the door then. Again, it's 9 o'clock the next morning, walking and waiting around, hoping and praying that you'll get somewhere the next night. That's just the way it is.
So what were the circumstances then that led to you with 6 of your 7 children spending the night in Tallaght station on Wednesday?
Well, it wasn't the first time actually. That was the first time I posted it. I just got I got in a way I just couldn't take it anymore. I said I just need to let people see what's going on, like. And what happened was we got a phone call from Fox Island that said that they couldn't find anywhere for me. So I said, right, that was okay. I suppose it wasn't okay, but I said, well, I'm going to go. They said, go to the Tallaght Police Station. So I went on to Tallaght Police Station with the kids. Then they phoned me back and they told me that they had found a room. So I was like, okay, yes, that's fine. And then they helped me, went on to tell me that I could only come 5 of the kids. And then they said it was in County Mead. So how would I get to County Mead that early night? So I just said, are you having a laugh? Like, why would you even ring me and tell me that you have a room that would take 5 kids in County Mead, like, that early night? Do you know what I mean? There was really no point in even ringing to tell you that, like.
So you presented yourself to Tallaght Station just for a roof over your head for the night. And I understand from your social media posts that you literally didn't sleep all night.
No, I just couldn't believe what was happening. Like, it's just, it's so hard when you're in a situation like that there. And really, you have nowhere else to go. And it's like nobody wants to help you. Nobody wants to know you. Do you know what I mean? Like, people look down on you and people will... It's horrible. It's a very, very... It's a shameful thing as well. As a mother, it's a very, very shameful thing when you don't have anywhere else to put your kids.
And how did the kids react to it?
They were scared. They were scared. They were just... I don't know. The next morning, they were just sitting up and were like, where do we go from here, ma? Mummy, and I said, I don't know. I just don't know. So we just go to council and see what they'll do. And as far as the bigger ones kind of know, but it's the smaller ones that doesn't understand what's happening. Like, you know what I mean? It's very hard to explain to the four-year-old why you're sleeping on the floor in the Gardaí station. Like, you know what I mean?
Now, I know the Gardaí were very good to you. And
now, the Gardaí, now, in fairness to them, there wasn't much that they could do. They'd done as much as they could, like, you know what I mean? So, the guards were, they just done whatever they could do for us. Like, there wasn't much, like I said, that they could do, only let you use the waiting area, like.
Now, I know one of the things that you've said since you spent the night in the Garda station is that you want Housing Minister Owen Murphy to resign. Why?
Because he doesn't want to. Do you not realise that, like, does not the whole country not realise how bad this homeless situation is? Do you know what I mean? Put it this way, if I wasn't sleeping in that Garda station along with my kids, it would have been another family sleeping in there along with their children. It's happening all over the country. There's children every single night, whether it's mine or whether it's somebody else's. There's children every single night of the week sleeping in Garda station floors. And it's just that I just don't understand how the government thinks that that's okay. How anyone here in Ireland thinks that that's okay. There's hundreds of families that are homeless, hundreds of children that, do you know what I mean? It's just that, and it's all black, like, it's all, nobody even seems to understand it. Like, now what they're saying, oh my God, is that actually happening? That's happening, like, months and months. It's happened over the last year, like.
Now, you posted photographs from the Garda station on social media. You say you have done that, or you have stayed in the station before, but on this occasion you posted it on social media, and you received a lot of support from a lot of people, but you also got an awful lot of negativity. People posting some fairly nasty stuff. What do you say to those people who, you know, were saying that you should be ashamed of yourself doing that to your children and so on? What do you say to those people?
Well, I suppose I should be ashamed, do you know what I mean? And I am ashamed. Do you know what I mean? Like, I am ashamed. But what could I do when I haven't got nothing else to do? Like I told you, it's a very shameful thing as a mother to have nothing else to offer your kids. Do you know what I mean? But like, at the end of the day, until you're in... And this homeless, a homeless thing can happen to anybody. You can be a millionaire and just lose it all like that. Do you know what I mean? Like, you can be homeless at any second. You don't know, you just don't know what's around the corner. Nobody does know what's around the corner for them. And it's as simple as that there. And I just would like to say to the people who keep on posting up negative things, I wouldn't wish this upon nobody. It's the most horriblest thing in the whole world for to have to watch your children go through something like that and not being able to do anything about it. Nobody understands that until they go through it themselves.
One comment that one lady posted on social media is... at what point should an adult take responsibility for their own actions and look after themselves? What do you say to that?
Well, what can you say? Do Do you know what I mean? What can you say? I suppose, like, I've done everything I can do, but I'm relying on the home. I'm relying on the county for to give me a home for my kids. Do you know what I mean? Like, half the country is in most of the country is actually in council houses. And all I want is the same as everybody else, have a council house, somewhere to live, somewhere to lie down, that's it.
What is your current family situation, like the father of the children or whatever?
Well, he's not around at the minute.
And you've literally been, have you the one father for all seven children?
Of course I have, yeah.
And he's just not on the scene?
No.
Do you know where he is? Does he pay you any money?
No, it's kind of like something that is private, so I don't really feel comfortable talking all over the place about it. Like,
okay, but the father of your children is not around?
No, and I do have the one father for my kids.
Okay, now in terms of, like I said, the negative comments, and there have been an awful lot of positive comments, an awful lot of support for you, an awful lot of people saying that it's a disgrace that you've found yourself in this situation. And I noted an awful lot of the positive comments. What can you do, or what are you hoping to do, Margaret, for you and your seven children from next Monday? Because where you are now, where you're living now at this moment, you're just there till next Monday. What happens then?
I don't know. That's the thing. I don't know. I really don't know. When I went into the council, after sleeping in the guard station, I went into the council the next morning, and the best of kids haven't let down anything for me. I'm on a list, like. But like I said, that list is just not getting, it's not moving anywhere. It's not getting any smaller. If you ask me, it's getting bigger. Do you know what I mean? So like, I don't know. The council are not going to do anything for me. So I don't know. Just back in the same situation, I suppose, all over again.
How do you cope with seven children on your own?
I don't know. I'm not the same person I was a year ago. I'm not. Everything, my whole life has changed. I've changed. Everything about me has changed. I'm not the same person at all.
Is it affecting your mental health?
It's affected everything, yes. My mental health has affected everything. It really, really has, yes. It's very, 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 very hard not knowing where you're going to be from one end, from one night to the other night. It's so hard. Nobody will ever, like I said, it's just until you go through it, you never know what it's like.
And you were saying in the Garda station the other night, you spent the whole night awake and You almost felt that you were letting your children down, that they were in that sort of situation. Is that how you feel, that you're letting your kids down?
Yeah. You feel it's your fault. That's the way you feel. You know what I mean? You feel it's your fault. You feel like, why can't I do more? Like, I wish I could do more, which I tried. Do you know what I mean? I tried to get a caravan. I tried, but I had nowhere to pull it. So that was another problem for the government. They don't allow travellers to pull on the side of the road anymore in a caravan. Well, what do you expect us to do, like? Do you know what I mean? I tried to get a caravan. I tried to pull it on the side of the road. I kept getting moving around. I wasn't allowed to stay on the side of the road. I had to end up getting rid of the caravan. I'm coming in here to the homeless. I had a roof over my head. I'd done what I could. I got my kids a caravan. I put a roof over their head. I had nowhere to pull it. I was moving around Calais on the side of the road. I was in the Echo three times. But I did it. I'd done what I could.
Obviously, you're on the housing list. You're hoping that you're going to be housed very soon. Financially, how do you survive?
It's very hard. It's very, very, very hard. Now three times. Breakfast, dinner and supper every day. The kids washing clothes and wash houses, constantly buying new shoes because the kids are walking constantly. You know, everything. It's very, very, very hard. Very hard.
Finally, Margaret, what is your message to Minister Owen Murphy and to people listening to your story? You've gone very public with this story. How does it feel to be such a high-profile case in terms of being in all the newspapers and so on today? How does that feel? Is it an invasion of your privacy, or is it something that you feel you have to do?
It's something that, like, I'm hoping that will let people know about the homeless situation, like, and how bad it actually is. Because, like, it's like I said to you, if it wasn't me and my family in that police station that night, it would have been another family. And that's just the way it is. And that's the reality of it. It's just there's hundreds of people like that that have nowhere to go, and it's going to continue. It's just going to get worse until somebody does something about it. Do you know what I mean? Like, there's nobody doing anything about it. So, like, obviously, it's just going to get worse, isn't it? There's more people coming homeless. There's more kids coming homeless. And people are just sitting back and letting it happen. The government is just sitting back and just allowing this to happen. Like,
so, well, Margaret, I don't know. I wish you well. What are your plans for the weekend with the kids?
Just kind of relax as much as we can, I suppose, until Monday and see what's happening then on Monday.
All right. Well, we'll keep in touch with you next week and... Hopefully there will be a longer term roof over your head and your seven children from next week onwards. Margaret Cash, thanks very much indeed for talking to us on 98FM.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Now, Margaret said during that interview that she blames the Minister for Housing, Owen Murphy, for her situation. She has called for him to resign because he hasn't done anything to help her and countless thousands like her. And we're asking, who do you blame for this current homelessness situation where a mother with six children, well, she has seven, but six of her seven children spending a night in a Garda station the night before last? Who do you blame? Because she's not the first person to have been forced into that situation, because literally there was nowhere for her to stay on Wednesday. And by no stretch of the imagination is she going to be the last. Our telephone number is 6797981. You can text or WhatsApp the programme on 0877-989898. 0877-989898. Eddie, you're on Dublin's 98FM. How are you, Eddie?
Morning, Adrian. How are you?
Good morning, Eddie. How are you?
Not too bad. Not too bad.
What did you want to say on this, Eddie?
First thing I'd like to say is I'm very, very sorry to hear about our situation. It's the kids I feel sorry for.
Mm-hmm.
But her blaming the minister for her not keeping her legs closed.
You know what I mean? Come on, like, now, Eddie, would you?
There's a certain responsibility. Let me tell you a story. I'm 42. I've worked all my life. I don't have the best paying job. I thought to myself, I'd love a child, but I'm not of a sound financial footing to bring a child into the world and give it what it needs. So I took the responsible adult decision not to have children. And there's this woman who knows there's a homeless crisis, who doesn't have a home, has brought
did have. If you were
children.
Listening to the interview, Eddie, yes. She did have.
Yes, but she said for the last God knows how long she's been in and out, and some nights she doesn't know where she is to the next.
Yes.
And I still, knowing this, kept bringing children to the world. At some stage, you have to take and a responsible adult decision and go,
Eddie, to cut across you. To the best of my knowledge, she has not had a child since she's found herself homeless. Okay, so.
Yeah, she said she was 4 years. 4 years of old is our youngest one. But she said this has been going on a long time. You know?
Mm hmm. Okay, so.
Like responsible people have now got to pay extra taxes.
We've been talking over the last couple of years about the severe homeless crisis that we have. 10,000 people without a proper roof over their heads. I know a lot of them are in hotels or in B&Bs or whatever, but without a proper roof over their heads. A lot of people are saying that the government are at fault for this.
I know, and probably they are. I don't know the ins and outs of politics, but who are you under this for? This homeless thing is going on for years, 10, 15 years. And people know
it. It's not that. It hasn't been that long.
But children. You have to, at some stage, make the sound decision to yourself and go, you know what? But I can't get one because I can't afford it. You know what I mean? You have to draw the line somewhere. Seven children when you don't have a home to call your own. It's a bit much.
But as she mentioned,
it's the children.
As she mentioned when she was talking to me, she did have a home. And the landlord, from what she said, went bankrupt and they ended up having to move out. That has happened to countless people.
I know. But Adrian, what I'm saying to you is, she's obviously not working if she has seven children to look after, right? She shouldn't be having that many children. If you can't. To me, I said it to you on this radio before, to me the most irresponsible thing you can do in life is bring a child into this world if you're not prepared to be a good role model, work your ass off and pay for that child.
Okay, well, one of the questions that I asked her was, what was the support of the father of her children? I couldn't get an answer to that. She didn't want to discuss that.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to push her on a personal question like that, but she didn't give me a proper answer. And I'm assuming at the time that she had her children, perhaps everything was okay in her world.
Yeah, no, I hope that lady gets sorted, because you can't just take the kids back. But I'm saying to this now, to any other young person that's listening to this radio, because there's a lot of women out there that have kids now as a lifestyle choice to get on the list to get a house. Anyone listening now, don't bring a child into this world if you're not prepared to work your ass off, be a good role model, learn it right or wrong, and show it how you actually live a life.
Okay, stay there for 1 second. So in answer to my question, who do you blame for this sort of situation?
I would blame both of them.
Both the government and the...
I don't have a clue what to do, but you have to take some personal blame as well. Listen, I have to go.
All right, good luck. Thanks, Eddie. Betty, you're on 98FM. How are you, Betty?
I'm good, how are you?
Betty, what did you want to say on this?
I just wanted to say that the comments that people have been leaving on this poor woman's post are absolutely fucking disgraceful.
Mind the language, please, Betty, if you don't mind. Yes.
It is absolutely disgraceful. The stuff that people are saying, that she should be grateful for having a roof over her head, relying on taxpayers' money to provide for her kids, and if she can't look after her kids, the social services should get involved. It's a joke. Why should she be grateful for having a Garda station roof over her head? A Garda station with 6 kids who are probably absolutely terrified, senseless.
A lot of people have focused in. In fact, that last caller there focused in on the fact that this particular woman, and she wouldn't be the only one, 7 kids at the age of 28, without being able to provide. What do you say to that? That is the number one criticism that I've read online.
At the end of the day, the people going around having kids upon kids, whether they can support them or not, that's their own business. It's not this woman's fault that she had become bankrupt and lost her house. It's genuinely not. Like, at the end of the day, prices for houses to rent and to buy around
here are
disgraceful. On average, it's €1,400 a month for a 2-bedroom apartment. How does the government expect people to survive in at times like this? It's the reason why mental health and depression are so high at the minute.
So, when you, and like I said, I've a load of comments here that were posted on both her page and on other pages, slamming her for having that many children, not being able to provide for them, and so on. You think these people are putting the blame in the wrong place? Do you?
100%. They should be putting the blame with the government, because the government should be doing more things to help people like this.
Stay there for a second.
Homelessness crisis is just getting worse and worse by the day.
Hmm. Stay there for a second, because Lisa, I mean, Betty and a lot of callers are saying that the government have just totally screwed this up. They are totally responsible for the current housing or homeless crisis. What do you say to that?
Hi, Adrian.
Hi, Lisa. How are you?
Adrian, do you know, no one in the country could deny the state of the homeless sector. It's an absolute disgrace that anyone is sleeping rough or hasn't got a roof over their head. But there's a certain responsibility to parents. My blood boiled looking at that photograph.
Why?
Adrian, because I think that you reach a point where, you know, everyone has a right to fight for what they think they're entitled to. And that's another topic altogether, the sense of entitlement. When you post photographs of your children on social media, you've gone to a different level.
She was trying to get attention. She got attention.
She got attention, and she's got attention for her 7 children. Those children will grow up. Those photographs will not go away. You don't humiliate your child to get what you want in life. And I think there's an element of people, and I know I'll be slated for this, but I'm going to use the word, there's an element of people and society who are prostituting their children on Facebook and every other social media platform to get what they want in life. And it's wrong on every level, as far as I'm concerned.
But Lisa, I have to say to you, had she not, and I'm very mindful of the fact that the photograph that was put up on social media, you couldn't see the kids' faces, but you could see them clearly asleep on in the Garda waiting room. Had she not put a photograph of the kids on social media, she wouldn't have gotten the attention that she's gotten.
Well, Adrian, I can see the kids' faces.
And not the photograph I saw. Now, maybe there's other ones, but not the one I saw.
Yeah, the kids' faces are very visible. I don't like the orchestrated picture of the, you know, mimic school uniform look in, you know, it's August. I don't know what that's about. It looks to me like it's staged, absolutely orchestrated. And yes, she got what she wanted. She hasn't gotten what she wants.
She has a roof. Lisa, she's a roof over her head till next Monday.
Has she? Well, you know what, Adrian? I've looked at her Facebook, as I'm sure half the country has, right? When you can afford to sit and get pissed and constantly put photographs up of crates of beer, right? And out shopping on Monday, buying pieces of Waterford crystal and getting probably in excess of £1,000 on Tuesday in children's allowance. And then come Wednesday, you can't put a roof over your kid's head. You have your priorities wrong. And I, as far as I'm concerned, she ought to be ashamed of herself.
Okay, Lisa, as per our conversation on the phone yesterday, the crate of beer probably costs 15, 16, 17 euro. I mean, you know, don't be running away with yourself.
Hang on, Adrian. When you resort to prostituting your child online, and that's what it is.
I don't think that's an appropriate word to be using
Adrian,
to children,
that's what
Lisa.
They're doing. She shouldn't be doing that. Do you know what? It's abusive to your children to do that. And I think that shithole Toothless should be involved. The children should be put into care until she finds a home, not dragged around police stations. And people slating the Garda for not having blankets. Let the mother buy a blanket. You're telling me she's accumulated hundreds of thousands at this stage from the state. And she can't have a blanket for her children. I mean, Adrian, when she got her children's allowance on Tuesday, she could have booked a holiday home for a week for £400.
Betty, what do you say to that sort of negativity around this woman? And I have to say, she's very foolish, Margaret. If you're still listening, you're very foolish to have your Facebook page open to the world at large. To let everybody see every post that you've put up. But anyway, this is your own business, I suppose. Betty, what do you say to what Lisa is saying here?
I'm saying that it's absolute. It's boiling my blood listening to this, saying she's prostitution and her children around the place. She put that picture up on social media to try and get some help. Social media is a very big platform with a lot of people who know a lot of things. At the end of the day, she's trying to figure out something, trying to figure out a bit of help to find out if she can do something to get a roof over her head for more than a weekend.
Right, then, hold on a minute. Why, instead of going to a Garda station, didn't she go to a holiday home? Why, instead, if she wanted to make her case known, why didn't she go into a city council office and sit there with her children and refuse to leave? Why not?
Because
why bring the baby?
Have you not seen half the people around here?
How can she afford to go shopping for crystal on Monday, like Waterford crystal or whatever? How can you do that? How do you justify that?
I can't justify that in the slightest, because it's not my problem to deal with. But if she wants to go out and buy herself bottles before she became homeless, she has every right to do so.
Lisa, I had a few bottles of beer on Sunday. Now, I didn't post it on social media, but would you begrudge me that?
No, because you're not sitting in a Garda station with six children.
Nor was she last Sunday. And look, we're literally splitting hairs. We're talking about 20 quid's worth of drink and people
we're
are arguing about that.
Well, that's the point. We're not talking about 20 quid.
Where do you
worth
expect
her
to go at 3 o'clock in the morning with six kids other than a Garda station? Somewhere that will actually put a roof over her head.
What you do is the day before that and the week before that, you stop going out shopping and posting all your wares.
She did not know that she was going to become homeless.
She didn't know on Monday.
No.
She didn't know.
Why is she on the housing
list? She didn't know last Sunday that she wasn't going to have a roof over her head on Wednesday. That's the reality.
No one gets thrown out of their house.
She wasn't
like
thrown.
That.
She's been. Were you not listening to the interview, Lisa?
No,
she's
I
been thrown.
Wasn't.
She was thrown from Billy to Jack for the last year, never knowing where she was going to be staying next.
So she's been in the homeless sector for how long?
A year.
Right. So she spent
over a year.
And she's posting on social media persistently, persistently about drinking. Fancy to just
that's her own choice.
I mean, no, it's not.
If she wants to put a drink up on her Facebook page, she's every right to, the same way as anyone else.
Excuse me. The state is looking after her kids. Not you. Not her. The state is raising her kids.
And they're doing
okay?
a very good job looking after them.
No,
right
she
now,
is not doing a very good
six
job.
Kids sleeping in a garden station.
She ought to be ashamed of herself. Those children should be taken out of her care.
Paul, you're on 98 FM. How are you, Paul?
Hi, Adrian. How
good,
you
Paul.
Doing?
What did you want to say on this, Paul?
I just want to just say something, and I don't want this to come across as racist because I'm not racist, okay?
Okay. I'm dying to see where this leads, but go on.
No, no, Adrian, don't jump the fence before we get there, okay? What I'm saying to you is this, that I've been living in a private housing estate for the last 40 years, okay? At that time, we had a struggle to pay our mortgage, right? Mm-hmm. And we had to go through hell and high water to pay the mortgage, to keep the roof over our head, okay? Now, we have a lot of homeless people in this country, but I am living in a cul-de-sac where there are 28 houses, right? And we try to keep them up to date. Within the last few years, right, we've had 8 families from various other countries, right?
Like, what other countries?
Well, do you want me to mention them?
I'm just curious to know, yeah.
No, I'm just saying from various other countries, right?
European Union countries?
Not African European Union countries, no. From African, Nigerian countries, things like that, okay?
Okay.
Right. What I'm saying is, we get on well together, right? And there's no hassle, there's no discrimination, there's nothing, right? But the only problem we have is that the state of the properties that they've moved into, right, have actually devalued the property of our house. Okay, maybe I'm being a... What?
I'm sorry to cut across you, Paul. What's the point you're trying to get at here?
The point I'm trying to get up at here is this, that we can bring people in from foreign countries and we cannot house our own, you know?
I don't know if you're aware of statistics this week, which showed that we've new laws that allow people in direct provision, for example, to get work permits to work. Only 10% of them have been granted work permits yet, even though we've promised to allow them to work and to earn their and pay for their own keep. Only 10% are currently working. I'm still kind of at a loss to know the point you're trying to make. Daniel, you're on Dublin's 98 FM. How are you?
I think it's very easy to be small-minded and say RGA, so she got money on Tuesday, she should have done this and she should have done that. But how does Lisa know that she didn't owe her arse out that whole month and she had to pay people back for fucking feeding her kids? I mean,
mind the language, Daniel. Good man.
Sorry,
thank you.
Sorry.
Yep.
It's easy to be small-minded and look that way. But realistically, this is a woman in need with kids staying in the Reading Garda station. I mean, there's a bigger picture here than just where would he staying and why didn't he have any blankets. The bigger picture is, why have you got a Reading house? Why is it going on so long? What's the problem? Like, you know what I mean? What's the government doing? That's the question.
And Lisa, that question, no matter what you think of the circumstances of Margaret's situation and how she ended up there and the fact she had a few beers on Sunday, the fact of the matter is that on Wednesday night, a mother and 7 children had nowhere to stay. That's a bloody disgrace.
Well, you know what? First of all, people need to understand that the likes of this situation is making mockery of the real, real homeless people, okay?
What's a real, real homeless person?
A real homeless person is someone who has nowhere to turn, no family, no extended family or friends to turn to. Now, I'm sure somewhere, Margaret,
the definition of homeless is having no home.
Relatives. Pardon?
The definition of homeless is having no home. That's what it means. You haven't got a home.
You know what? What's the definition of entitlement, right? What's wrong with the likes of Margaret, right, with 7 children, hold on, right, getting sterilised?
What's that got to do with this conversation,
Lisa?
Because
people need to stop having kids that they don't know how to look after. And Adrian, you said there about drinking one night. No, I think anyone's entitled to have a drink whenever they feel like it, if they can afford it. She clearly can't, so she shouldn't be. It's as simple as that.
Again, it's going off pitch. I mean, that's looking at a small thing. Like, you're like saying you can't eat white bread because you're homeless. It doesn't make any sense.
No, not.
going
no,
off this
you know what? Bread is essential. Do you know what I mean?
No, it's
that's
not,
a ridiculous
bread
comparison.
Bad for
okay?
you. Not good for you.
Come here. Food is essential then. We'll put it that way, right?
We'll put it that way.
Drinking is not essential, right? It is not essential.
Lisa, I don't know about you. I don't know about you, Lisa. If I was coping with seven young children, yeah. I'd want to switch off every now and again. I could hear the stress on that woman's voice with the kids screaming in the background. I don't know how she hasn't cracked up.
I can hear her making a mockery of everybody who's
How is she making
birth.
A mockery?
Of course she is. She's
hell,
got what she wanted,
hell.
Our attention, right? Her children and her are all over social media. Those children are going to grow up, right? And people need to get into their heads. There is no constitutional entitlement or right to a house in this country, right? It doesn't work like that. She's not entitled to anything. Nothing. It's not about entitlement.
Okay, stay there for a second. Daniel, hang on there for a second. Billy, you're on Dublin's 98 FM. How are you?
Hey, Adrian. Listen, whether you're entitled to her or not, I'm not getting down that argument, right? Just bear with me for a minute. That fella Daniel was making, what the point he was trying to make is the one I'm going to make. Right, there's people coming in this country, Adrian, right? I'm not racist, call me racist, I can't even have an opinion without being accused of being racist. There's people coming in from this country, now listen very carefully, Adrian, and don't cut me off. There's people coming in from non-EU countries, right? Non-EU countries. We're not part of the world, we're part of Europe, right? So anyone comes in from Europe, fine, give them a house, give them whatever you want. But people coming in from non-EU countries getting a house, and our own citizens living on the street, it wouldn't happen in any other country in Europe.
Sorry, Billy, firstly, if you yes. come in from somewhere like Nigeria into yes. Ireland, you're put into direct provision.
No. Now,
Billy, stop it. Now, stop. People don't get off the aeroplane in Dublin Airport and get brought to a house.
No, they don't, but they don't be long waiting for one. There's people living around my area down here in Donegal that are from African countries and they're housed.
Sorry, Billy, I don't know where you've
yeah,
been.
No, hang on, Adrian,
there are
I
people, hang on for
now.
One second.
Hang on, Adrian.
No,
I
Billy, no. There are people living in. There are people living in.
No, Adrian, you're blind. No, Adrian, seriously.
Billy!
You're always like this. You're blind.
No. Hang on for one second.
Adrian,
there are
yeah.
people living in direct provision facilities yeah. in Ireland for yeah. 10 bloody years.
Well, Adrian, they shouldn't be living in direct provision. They should do what they do in America and Australia. Send them back 24 hours later after the arrival.
But, sorry, how would that change? No, hang on.
How would that change?
Sorry, hang on. Firstly, I have to say that the reason people are in direct provision for up to 10 years is because of the pathetic pace that our state
right.
deals
but,
with their
but,
cases
but Adrian,
seeking
there
asylum.
Be direct provision. When someone comes in illegally from non-EU countries, now listen to what I'm saying, Adrian, non-EU countries, they should be sent straight back like they do in Australia,
we
Canada,
have
America.
An international obligation to listen to somebody's case.
We don't
case
have any obligation, Adrian.
Billy.
Listen, we only have an obligation to EU citizens.
No.
EU citizens, Adrian.
If somebody arrives at our border
no,
seeking
Adrian,
asylum.
No, Adrian, get a ticket. True to your tick school. We've no
if you're not even prepared to have a conversation, Billy, the,
Adrian,
the fact of the matter is we have an international obligation.
We don't have any international. We
Billy,
don't have an obligation
right,
to
I'm cutting you off now, Billy, because you're not even prepared to listen to what I'm trying to say. We have an international obligation to listen to somebody's case when they present themselves at our border seeking asylum. The problem we have here in Ireland is it takes us so bloody long to sort it out. 10 years in direct provision. 10 years where, up until recently, they couldn't even work. And now that they are allowed to work, only 10% of them have been given work permits. It's absolutely ridiculous. Anyway, it's completely irrelevant to Margaret's story. Finally, Shane, what do you want to say on this?
How you doing? Listen, you know my point on the whole homelessness and the houses and the government not doing that and the whole lot. Like, and I've been on before, just like where I live, there's up to 30 to 40 houses boarded up. And not being done, the government doing nothing with. Now, I feel for that girl in a little way, but at the same time, seven kids and not having a roof over their head and not being able to look after them.
She did like, have a roof over her head, Shane. And like,
like
many.
You asked her a direct question about her husband or her partner.
And she wouldn't answer.
Yeah, so if she's able to get on and moan about, oh, I need this and I need that, she should be answering all the questions. See, she's willing to answer what she's comfortable with. So where is the husband? Where is the partner?
I can't answer that because she wouldn't she wouldn't discuss it with me.
Yeah, but she should be made discuss it. Where was she?
How do you want to make her discuss it?
No, but what I'm saying to you is everyone's listening to the sob story part of it. What about, I have four kids. I work two jobs. Adrian. And I keep a roof over my family's head. Has she been working at all over all the years of having babies? Was her partner working over all the years to put a roof over her head? Now, fair enough, I said no one should be homeless, and you know my point on that. I've said this so many times on the radio, that there's so many houses out there and the government not doing shag all.
I agree.
But my point is that there's so many people that get up and work two jobs to put a roof over their kids' heads. Stop having so many kids. Don't be, and you're saying they're 20 euros, she needs to unwind. Don't have kids if you can't afford them then. Don't be drinking. That 20 quid could have went up. As that girl said, the children...
No, but it just annoys me a little bit, Shane, that people are focusing in. People are focusing in on the woman having a couple of beers last Sunday.
What I'm not saying is that I can't even do that, Adrian. And I work two jobs. But my point is that we people out there get up off their arse and work hard to provide for the kids. Eddie was on earlier on saying if he can't afford it, he chose not to have kids at 42 because he couldn't afford it. And I the poor children shouldn't be homeless.
That's exactly the point of this conversation, though.
Yeah,
and a woman, for whatever reason, whatever background, had nowhere for her and her seven children to stay on Wednesday night. That is disgraceful in 2018 Ireland.
It is disgraceful. What I'm saying is, right, then why don't the government get up off the bums, right? Instead of lashing out paying 1,000 quid or 2,000 quid a month to these private renters on this HAP or whatever it is on the social welfare, right? Why not give the people the houses, right? And out of their book each week, take their mortgage, take 50 quid each week. That means the government are not spending so much a month on rent. They're not giving so much out a week to
people. And it's been spread across more people.
And it's been spread, it's not only that, it's been spread across more money. The government saved money over 10 years. I'd love you to come out with a camera someday and go around Ballyferm, go around Sherry Orchard, go around Neilstown, go around Clondalkin and see how many houses
and to be honest with you, Shane, I have, and I agree with you 100% that it is outrageous that there are so many premises just lying idle doing nothing. And we saw earlier on this week that group occupying the building at Summerhill because of the frustration of the amount of buildings lying idle. Anyway, look, Shane, I'm way out of time. Thanks very much indeed for your call. And Lisa and Daniel, thank you all of you for your calls. You're listening to 98FM's Dublin Talks.
98FM's Dublin Talks. Weekdays from 10 a.m.